What it is natural, genetic, and biological. Now, may I ask you? Strange language. I wonder how you're going to answer. We as human beings, naturally pathological. Are we in a pathological state as human beings? Are we? Thanks for hesitating to answer. Of course. Of course. Who of the English language, to name just one language, has been twisted? Of course we're all in a pathological state of body. My gosh. I'm sure you've heard this question, a statement of St. Augustine. What shall I call man's condition? Is it a living death or a dying life? Thanks, Augustine. The moment we are conceived, we have begun to die. Had there been no sin, would there have been any death?
No.
Any sickness or disease?
No.
And there's not the only kind of pathology. That's mild. If our bodies are pathological, our souls, our minds and wills. Now, unlike what Luther and his followers claimed, that we have a free will only to do evil, unquote Martin Luther verbatim from his John. No, we know we still have a mind that can think, that can grasp the truth, and a will that can choose what is good. But there's not too much we can know by our own, shall I use the word, naked mind. That's why the whole Old Testament, how many books in the Old Testament?
46.
Yeah, you count them. Up to 46. Everything in the Old Testament is what is knowable by reason. Do you hear me? Knowable by reason. There are no strict mysteries revealed in the Old Testament. That's the New Testament. But does the world need the Ten Commandments? Well, absolutely speaking, could we, human beings, with our minds, conclude to what we call the Ten Commandments? Absolutely speaking, yes. But our minds are darkened. Remember what happened when Moses came down from the mount, having received the Ten Commandments? What he find is beloved Israelites doing. What were they doing? Let's be honest. And those Old Testament Jews have nothing on our modern 20th century Americans. The calves. At least in India, they stop the traffic when the cow crosses the street. All traffic stops. How widespread is idolatry? Back to what we're saying. Yes. The human mind, the human will, needs help. It is constant light from God. It is constant strength from God. That's why we must pray. And the verb is must pray. Otherwise we go insane. And insane with a PhD behind our names. And we'll be chairman of departments at our universities. Totally and completely insane. My 5-year tenure at a state university, I would of course talk them to this way to them. After 5 years, they made sure this Harton was removed from the faculty. So, what are we saying? We are quoting the homosexual philosophy, and it is a philosophy which identifies the most atrocious human aberrations as normal, natural. Now they have books to prove it. Does this theory have sound objective foundations? And it's quite a safe statement. Theory. Well, let's be honest. There are theories that are just wrong. There are theories that are disastrously wrong. And this is one of them. The answer is no. And being demolished by a number of systematic studies is also contradicted by the fact that many homosexuals have been treated and freed from the chains of the morally and psychologically disordered compulsions. And that's why I was so happy that besides dignity, unquote, which has been operative in the Archives of Chicago for years, they now have courage. Heard about that? That's another organization that founded on sound Catholic teaching. Is sodomy a sign? At 4 o'clock, will somebody tell me it's 4 o'clock, please? Not 4 yet, right?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Is sodomy a sign of the church's self-destruction? Yes. As Bible seeks to clear it in one of his most outspoken denunciations of homosexuality, in context he is speaking of the immoral practice among professed Catholics who are defending homosexuality. It's a long quotation, but deserves to be quoted, and with this we'll stop. The church finds herself in an hour of disquiet, of self-criticism, or might even say of self-destruction, like an acute and complex interior upheaval, which no one expected after the council. One thought of a blossoming, a serene expansion of the mature concepts of the council, which still has this aspect of blossoming. But since bonum ex integra causa, malum est quocumque defectum. Meaning what? Good comes from an integral cause when everything is good. Malum, evil, comes from even a single defect. In other words, as a defect, what a mild word, homosexuality is destructive of the Catholic Church. The Church is being wounded by those who are part of her. And look at whom he spoke to. He spoke to the student of Lombard Seminary. And this is one of the worst evils in some parts of the Catholic Church. Homosexuality is both practiced and even defended in, I repeat, some purportedly Catholic seminaries. There's only one comment you can make on that, and that is the exclamation, "My God." Fifty years of the priesthood, years in teaching priests and priests-to-be, believe me, this is a major crisis. That's why I thought it was worth both starting, as I've done so far, with God's grace, we'll finish the planned catechism on this crucially important subject in our day. Now, 67. How does Pope John Paul II describe this self-destruction in our day? He has been to the religious and priests participating in the First Italian National Congress on Missions to the People. Statement. One must be realistic and acknowledge with a deep and pained sentiment that a great part of today's Christians feel lost, confused, perplexed, and even disillusioned. Ideas contradicting the revealed and unchanging truth have been spread far and wide. Outright heresies in the romantic and moral fields have been disseminated, creating doubt, confusion, and rebellion. Human religion has been altered, immersed in intellectual and moral relativism, and therefore in permissiveness. Christians are tempted by atheism, agnosticism, a vaguely moralistic humanism, a sociological Christianity without defined dogmas, without objective morality. That Pope told a bishop friend of mine on an official visit which the bishop made to Rome. Paul VI told my bishop friend, "When I go to sleep at night, I always feel I have a crown of thorns over my head." And the present Pope is suffering agonizingly over what's going on in some parts of the world, including the United States. Our Pope knows all about, and I know I'm being taped, all about Bishop Gumbleton. And he is deeply, deeply saddened. '68. How do professed Catholics further promote the practice of homosexuality? They do so by receiving support from priests, even bishops, and from religious men and women. And this is the end point. Because a Catholic is trained, taught, to trust priests, trust bishops. You know, people are asking, "Father, where can I go? What parish should I belong to? What bishop can I follow?" And this is why I've said this more than once in the closing part of our present course. I've told so many people, no heresy in church's history has ever succeeded without episcopal support. Never, never. In other words, the errors, whether in doctrine to be believed or moral precepts to be obeyed, no doubt will take root unless and until members of the hierarchy are themselves seduced by the error. That's why in the 16th century, six whole nations were lost to the Catholic faith. 69. What is the heart of the strategy of the promoters of homosexuality among Catholics? In one word, the heart of the strategy is gradualism. It is assumed that homosexuality will not soon be approved by all Catholics, and still less soon by Catholic Church authority. Paul's quotation is lengthy, but it deserves to be quoted in full. Publicly stated by the chairman of the Department of Moral Theology at the Catholic University of Louvain in Belgium, it clearly expresses the gradualist strategy for the Church's acceptance of sodomy. And this leading, shall we say, moral theologian spoke in Detroit. And the quotation is from his lecture here in Detroit. Is the teaching going to continue to evolve? What's the teaching? Homosexuality. With respect to the homosexual relationship, will it evolve toward encompassing it? Yes, it will. Really taking the first step, begrudgingly, as we might like to admit. Here the teaching of the Church has recognized the homosexual person, homosexual orientation. He may be very uncomfortable with his own statements, but it's there. The homosexual person is a person, and no less of a person than anybody else. This is the first step. By being a person is one thing. Having that person use his or her free will to submit to the will of God is something else. The second step is the recognition of the homosexual relationship. And this is crucial. I think we are virtually on the edge of accepting. Well, not so fast, Father. Not so fast. The Church will accept the homosexual relations like those divorced and remarried. Well, and this is where the widespread granting of annulments is such a scandal in our country. We must live as brother and sister, or brother and brother, and sister, as the case may be, that the audience at Detroit laughed. Get the logic. Brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister. What is important is that the relationship be recognized as a valuable, fruitful, meaningful, affirmative. Look at the pile of adjectives. Let's take some water. Of accepting this. Well, there are more governments like the government of the United States, more Supreme Courts like our own. Then, those who will not accept sodomy can be ostracized, punished, excluded, even from American citizenship, and even imprisoned. A third step is, can we accept the homosexual act? When we can talk about the immorality of the homosexual act, we have to define it. Our whole understanding of human sexuality needs to be rewritten. But watch this and memorize this. By rewritten, not from a procreative or reproductive point of view. It needs to be rewritten from a relational point of view. In other words, I apologize. This is a quotation from the Pittsburgh meeting. The Pittsburgh meeting of the New Ways Ministry. In other words, even I don't say just our faith and our reason should tell us. Once sodomy becomes widely practiced and not just approved, but legalized by the civil government, the days of that society are numbered. I think I've told most of you, if you find any dictionary, American dictionary or English dictionary, which fully describes what lesbianism is, remember? The pagan Greeks, centuries before Christ, homosexual women were a danger to, well, to then pagan, pre-Christian, Greek society. So they were rounded up and shipped off to the island of Lesbos, exiled to preserve the nation. As I've said more than once, I'm no Ezekiel. I have no prophetic gifts, but no history. No society can survive. If, as in our nation, homosexuality becomes normative, 70, how the sodomites defend themselves from the church's unchanging condemnation. They argue to a radical change in sexual morality. A clear statement of this position was voiced by a professed Catholic of the Academy at Miami University. And this one, best of my knowledge, also spoke in Pittsburgh. As long as Christian sexual ethic was focused on procreation and the control of sexual desire, there was no room for a positive evaluation of homosexuality. In recent decades, under the pressure of new discoveries, I like that word, pressure. Pressure, that's the word. The social sciences and scientific fields, traditional Catholic sexual morality is crumbling. It, but I think I should share this with you. My 29th year working for the Holy See, no words of mine can describe how deeply concerned is Pope John Paul about what's going on in nations like our own. In other words, homosexuality, as the subject we're speaking on, is becoming more and more widely not just recognized or approved, but promoted in professedly Catholic circles. Now the procreative norm is gone. Oh, will you stop? Stop telling lies. As the media have a lot to do, these people, oh, I know exactly how I can make the front page of the New York Times. I know exactly. There's a lot of priests who have made front page of the New York Times. All I've got to do is, in writing or in a lecture, deny what I am teaching. What is the most important moral factor in the story of rejection of homosexuality? The most important moral factor is the teaching of religion, especially, but not only, Christianity. That is why sodomites concentrate on trying to change the historic condemnation of homosexuality. They realize that the religious factor is at the heart of the rejection of sodomy over the centuries. As long as you believe in God, and believe that God is intelligent, but hear it, that God created the family, then That's the end of the family. The most recent and authoritative defense of homosexuality from professed Catholic members of the hierarchy. It's part of a conference given in Pittsburgh in the winter of 1997. Again, the full quotation is lengthy, but it is worth giving in full. I may not read it all, because, well, let me read at least part of it. The most important thing that we can do in our pastoral care is to create a church community where gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people can be truly open about who they are. I think it is very important that they experience a warmth and oneness within the church to allow them to share their gifts with our church. And this was a national conference. And how well I know the Diocese of Pittsburgh. I was born in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. How we need to understand our faith, but to back up our faith with the facts of history. Every homosexual society here becomes a homicidal society. As I've said before, the sixth and fifth commandments are very closely related. You don't ignore, as the sodomists are doing, God's teaching already in the Old Testament. That's where the word Sodom comes from, right? Without. Shall I use the word inspiring people to seek, what a statement, to seek pleasure in causing other people suffering. And with this I'll close. There would have been no Nazism without sodomism. Thank you for listening. Is the number 276 you cite as Marian Catechus, the number of people who have started the course, who have finished it. There are those who are both finished and are involved in their training program. How is the Pope's health, if you know? The media seems to give the impression that he will resign soon. No, Holy Father will not resign soon. I can say this safely. Pope John Paul II will resign when he dies. What's the state of his health? Of course, he is worn out. But I know other worn out people. Australian scientist warns of a disease from communion cup. This is from the Catholic World News. An Australian professor warned on Friday that Christians risk infection from various diseases are received from the same chalice as the rest of the congregation. Professor Glenn Broughton said churchgoers ask a series of serious illnesses by drinking from or risk. A series of serious illnesses by drinking what he called a soup of organisms. The professor's list of diseases included secondary syphilis, tuberculosis, polio, diphtheria, hepatitis, A, B, and C herpes, tonsillitis, chickenpox, glandular fever, and the common cold. He also dismissed the common practice of wiping the rim of the cup as sanitarily insufficient, and that divine intervention cannot be invoked as a sterilant despite the sanctity of the ceremony, unquote. I think this is good to hear. And it may be that some dioceses will at least put some restriction on the widespread use, as they call it now, the cup. There may be another language. I know of no other language except English that has translated the Latin word calyx. It's from Greek Christian times. Calyx has always meant chalice. As a priest, when I pronounce the words of consecration, I say cup. I'm comforted by the present Holy Father's statement that no matter what the vernacular may say, the meaning is always that of the original Latin. Thanks, Holy Father. Cup means chalice. Has any pope ever resigned due to diminished health or mental soundness? Well, none for mental soundness. Pardon me, mental unsoundness. No. Have popes resigned for diminished health? Yes, they have. And as you know, some are just, I think they're even praying. But they've got a surprise coming. When this pope either dies, he may, I don't think he will, resign. The next one. God really knows, but I am sure he'll be, pardon me, tougher than ever. What is the main error that Father DeMello teaches or believes? As you may know, Father DeMello is a Jesuit from India. He has written a number of books not too long ago. His main, whatever any you give it, reason why I cannot recommend his writings is because he has deeply penetrated his spirituality with Hinduism and Buddhism. And having now over 30 years taught both Hinduism and Buddhism, including many Hindus in India, I've taught them Hinduism in the United States through credit courses from the United States. The poor dears. I mean this. It takes a Catholic to really understand any religion. I mean that. Is it possible for our bishop, Mengele, to obtain some priest from your bishop friends in Africa? Yes, of course. Of course. I could say more. Where can we obtain your critique on new creation? Well, new creation, the one that I'm talking about is, I'm talking about a series of textbooks. 8 years times two. In other words, there's a textbook and a teacher's handbook. Well, I wrote it for the Holy See, so I have to give some thoughts. Someone recently told me about Cardinal Vincenti's book called The Mother. Are you familiar with this book? Can you recommend it? Well, I've heard about the book, I've never read it. Whatever Cardinal Vincenti wrote, I would say, read it. He was a living martyr. Will you comment on the following entry in a church bulletin in Mount Pleasant? Several times during the summer, visitors from other dioceses will ask why we stand at Sacred Heart during the Eucharistic prayer. The answer was given in last week's edition of the Catholic Weekly. An article noted stated, for a few centuries, kneeling was considered a posture of abject remorse, not reverence. My God. Kneeling was forbidden during any part of the Mass because standing was the only correct posture of reverence from entry to exit. It may have been tiresome to stand all during Mass, long homily, but it was the only way to show respect. Please infuse our comparatively recent innovations in Catholic churches. That is spelled L-I-E. Times and styles change. One day our standing, kneeling, and sitting positions may be changed again. The important thing is the Mass, the liturgy itself. Well, my dear friend, when we assist at Mass or participate in the liturgy, we are to be there expressing our faith in the Western world for centuries. Kneeling has been the posture of respect. In fact, an all-day board meeting in Chicago on Friday, the bishop was president of our board of directors. They were waiting for those of us who were still not there to arrive. So the first thing I did was to, well, genuflect and kiss the bishop's ring. I think I told you, Mother told me, John, I taught you how to kneel before you could walk. I know what the knees are for. They're for kneeling. That's why we have the verb. Oh, what classes so many priests need. And not just contemporary thought, but in Catholic sound theology. Keep the faith, my friends, keep the faith. Artificial contraception is not 100% effective. Natural family planning is not 100% effective. If the intention in using either is the same, what makes artificial contraception wrong? Oh, it's the means. The means. In other words, God gave married people not just the right or the privilege, but shall I say it, the order to have marital intercourse, sexual intercourse, in order, that is still the basic purpose, in order to ensure the procreation of the human race. Now, over the centuries, hope I won't be misunderstood in what I will say next. Is it morally wrong or morally good to not to choose not to have children? In other words, is it a sin not to have children? Is it a sin not to have children? Otherwise, when I took my well, consecrated chastity, I would commit a mortal sin. So, Is it a sin for married people to have sexual intercourse?
No.
It's an act of virtue. Consequently, there are three elements that constitute a morally good action. First, what is done must be good. Why it is done must be good. The motive. And how it is done must be good. Can married people justifiably decide between themselves? At least for a while, they will not have children. May they do that?
Yes.
But I repeat, the question is how? There's one sure way, guaranteed. I don't have to finish the sentence. You all know. So it's the means of preventing conception. And of course, I never, my Lord, I wouldn't dare say that I became, well, a religious and took a vow of consecrated chastity to prevent conception. Thanks for the question. So, if the means used did you get an opportunity to ask Bishop Mundner when he is going to leave? I did not so far have the opportunity. Well, I should save this one. Bishop, I just got this in class. I'm teaching at Detroit. I thought you'd be interested. How can we get a copy of your analysis of homosexuality in schools, unpublished? Could it be copied and circulated? Well, what I have not done, except as part of the... Was you... Show me that leaflet. I knew it was published, I repeat, anonymously, by Human Life International. After... Because Rome told me to find a publisher. And Father Marx, too, wisely published it anonymously. So, now, what I might do, first of all, part of the analysis does deal with homosexuality of the analysis, which is in print. But what I would appreciate, and this is, if you would say, transcribe from books, be sure you have the title of the book, the author or authors, the date of publication, where homosexuality in sex education is being taught to children. And if you provide me with the data, and of course, I would appreciate if even the parts that are most sensitive were taken outside or drawn out so I could concentrate on the essentials. Thank you. Father, could you teach a class on moral theology, give an overview, or BMEF? It wasn't BMEF. Outline that could encompass historical characters from both sides. Well, I have taught moral theology over the years. I will do what I can to answer this question too and provide you with some information. But as you may know, I'm working on a Catholic computer summa, which we'll draw on the errors that are prevalent in today's world, and befitting those errors. So, and again, I do have, see, most of my manuscripts I've not published. I've published, as you know, many things, and quite some books. So, yeah, maybe that I have something. In fact, I have a course in moral theology that I taught Laws of St. Paul in Boston. Maybe we could get that together and keep after me. You'll find it. Was a homosexual left behind? There is no a call to action. That I don't know. It was originally behind it. I know it is an essential part of the call to action now. Is it proper, morally, to help the bishop of the official church of China with money donations to build a seminary? Oh. The question, is it proper, morally, to help the bishop or a bishop? There are more than one. A bishop of the official church of China with money donations to build a seminary. I would say it is not morally proper. The churches and the seminaries, oh, they're getting all kinds of help from the communist government. They are tools of the government. I tell you, there are seminaries in the United States, Catholic seminaries, where there are seminarians from communist China preparing to become priests of the official church in China. And the seminaries from China are doing a very good job on the fellow seminarians in the United States.